Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 116 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we have Matthew Vanderpool. Heard of him, right? He's a triple national champion for the Netherlands. Pretty good bike racer. Yeah, we got a chance to talk to him. Short conversation, but good. Try to pack in as much as I could there, but definitely pressed for time there. You get to different levels of the sport, and the time that's allotted gets smaller and smaller. But I was able to catch up with him in Andorra, and had a great conversation. Also, a little longer conversation with Chris Blevins. Chris Blevins, who is the U23 cyclocross national champion, was last year's U23 mountain bike national champion. Moved up to the elites, even though he's got a couple more years left in the U23 for nationals this year, and got third place. Just pretty awesome. He is one of the best bike handlers you'll ever see out there, an accomplished road racer, cyclocross racer, but loves mountain bike. That's kind of his first passion, and when we talk about all of that, had a conversation with him in Andorra as well, so we will get to both of those in a minute, but don't go anywhere. Don't fast forward. I'm just going to keep talking about stuff. I'm not even going to tell you about life insurance. We're moving on to coffee, and if you like bikes, you like coffee. And over at wideanglepodium.com, we have a partnership with Grimper Brothers, and they are offering the full schleck. If you listen to the Slow Ride podcast, you may know what the full schleck is. If not, don't worry about it. I will just tell you that it's a great coffee. There's something, there is a misconception about coffee. People think that if a coffee is dark, it is therefore stronger. That is not true. You can have really weak dark coffee. And light coffee, people think, is weaker. It's not. They're the same. That has nothing to do with it. But this is a light roast coffee, which is personally my favorite. I think it's much more flavorful than darker roast, so I prefer the lighter one. So I was really stoked when we were able to partner up with Grimpier for this coffee, and that it came out as a light roast. I was enjoying it all a week during my week off, my vacation, where I kind of unplugged and got ready for cross season. And you too can now get this coffee, and we'd love for you to do it. It's another way that you can help support the network. We're getting some proceeds from it. You know, it's truly a partnership here. If you go to wideanglepodium.com, go check out all the new shows that are on there. Consummate Athlete just got a new show up, and they've been doing some awesome stuff. I'm catching up with them now that I'm back into a world of connectivity. But along with all those shows, which are on the left-hand side of the site, you look over on the right-hand side of the site, and right below where it tells you that you can become a member of the Wide Angle Podium, which we would love for you to do, there it is. You can click on the Grimpier Brothers Wide Angle Podium Full Schleck Coffee ad, and that'll take you to their site, and then you can buy it. And then also look at all the other coffees they got too. Maybe you do like dark coffee, so you can pick up the Full Schleck, and then you can go subscribe to some other coffee as well that they have. They're awesome. I met Dan at Nationals in Austin. We bonded over the horrible weather and the rain and the trees and everything else, and huddled together, and it was great to have him there because he had coffee. All right, last thing I want to talk to you all about before we get to Matthew and Chris is that on August 18th, Saturday, August 18th, Crosshair Cycling is putting on a women's cyclocross camp. One day, we did this last year. It was a huge success. We're making it even bigger and better this year, adding coaches. It's going to be a top-notch learning experience from early morning into the afternoon. We have been putting on camps for a decade now. We have a formula that works, starting with our work with Jeremy Powers and the book that we wrote, Skills, Drills, and Belly Aches, that goes through all of these techniques. You're going to be able to get them from experts. This isn't just somebody in your club that's like, hey, I'm a cat four and I'm going to put on a clinic. Come on out and we'll hop over some barriers. No. This is learning how to race, a cyclocross race, how to prepare, how to start, how to dismount, how to remount, how to carry your bike, what to think about during races, how to corner. And it is going to be taught by Arlie Kemmerer, who's a professional cyclocross racer, been on world championship teams, by Crystal Anthony, also a member of World's Teams, professional cyclocross racer, professional endurance sports coach, Rachel Rubino, Dan Chabanov is going to be there helping out. Rusty Williford, who has led many of these camps over the years, will be there. We'll have professional technical support for you, mechanical support if anything goes wrong. It really is, I'm telling you, I know. I've seen the agendas for some of these camps out there, and I am telling you that this is an experience that you are only going to get a couple other places in the country. And this is a great experience. It's August 18th. It's for women only. We added a junior category, so we are catering also to juniors, beginners, intermediate, advanced, any level. You're going to get a ton out of this, and here's the thing that I tell people about going to this camp, getting the book, doing all these things, is that we will make you faster without making you any fitter. So you don't have to get in any better shape, and you're going to leave this clinic faster. $150 for faster. How can you pass that up? Go to bikereg.com, DC-Women's-CX-Camp. Just search for DC Women's Camp at bikereg.com. I'm sure it will come up. I also have links in the show notes, but would love to sell this out. We're getting there. We need some more folks to make this the best experience possible, and we want that to be you. So spread the word. If you're a dude, spread the word. Let's get all of the women out there to fill this up. DC Women's CX Camp, August 18th in Washington, D.C. at the site of DCCX. Okay, Matthew Vanderpool, Christopher Blevins, we're talking to them, and we're doing that right now.
I actually want to go back to start to last year. I think it was... Nova Mesto, like one of the first races that you were doing mountain biking. Mm-hmm. And the thing that struck me was actually after you crashed, and I was walking by and saw you there, and we chatted for a bit. But the thing that I noticed was that there were no other press was around, no media, nothing. It was just you hanging out there. And how is that different? Obviously, that's different than cyclocross, where you probably can't walk 5 feet without people coming up to you wanting to talk and everything. Has that been nice? You know, I know it's changing now because you're getting success in mountain biking, but is it more relaxing in this atmosphere?
Yeah, I think it is. It's just the weather is... Normally, the weather is also better than it is during cyclocross season, but it changed quite a bit now. But like when I started mountain biking, it was very relaxed, and I was just that was something I really liked about it. Was just very relaxed, and I could do my own thing and just be relaxed. Yeah.
Going from cyclocross to mountain biking, it seems like, you know, the races may be a little longer, different terrain, but it seems like your strategy when you're in there is a little different. You know, obviously you got guys like Nino out there who's the kid. You know, he's at the top, the guy you want to try. You know, I'm assuming a goal is to beat him in one of these World Cups. Do you approach it differently in cyclocross? It seems like you just go out from the gun and you really want to set the pace.
Yeah, but it's really different in mountain biking, as you said. I think Schurter is one of the strongest athletes I ever compete with. He's really good at it, and of course he's doing it its whole life already, and for me it's just my third year, so that's a bit of a difference. But like you said, it's 1 hour and a half, and it's quite a big difference. Like if you say it like this, it's just 30 minutes more, but it makes a big difference. And as well on the courses, like in cyclocross, it's the speed is higher. You have more points to recover from your sprints. And I think here it's really, if you go too fast on one climb, you're going to pay the next climb. And that's something you really have to learn, to find your own pace and not, if you feel good, just to follow the guy in front of you.
I'm sure also altitude comes in there as well. Has that been a difference going from cyclocross, where mainly you're not dealing with that at all, to a race like this weekend?
Yeah, but I think it's only this race on altitude for me. So last year it wasn't a success. I had to abandon the race after two laps. And this year I did some preparation on altitude as well. So I hope that makes difference. But if you ask around, I think everyone is feeling a bit difficult breathing. So it's the same for everyone. And it's just, you have to be even more careful than the other mountain bike races to not go over your limit. Because if you do so, I think the race can be finished here.
Yeah, did the altitude training before the Dutch Championship, did that help out in that road race? Were you feeling good going into that?
Yeah, I think so. I was really strong that day. I felt strong and I could just kept going. And I, even after being in the break for such a long time, I felt that legs were still strong to do the sprint. So I think it was maybe the altitude. I don't know for sure, but I've been 8 days in Livigno before the road championship. Normally the plan was to stay there until Val di Sole, but the road championship was in a special place for me. So I decided to go back home and compete, and I think it was a good decision.
Yeah. How has it been just meeting different people in this community? I mean, it's a completely different, you know, cyclocross. You're really dealing with a smaller Belgian Dutch community, and just getting out there and sort of training with different people. I see you out there riding with like different groups a lot. How's that been?
Yeah, that's something completely different, and that's something I refer to as well as the relaxed thing about it, I think. And everyone is like friends here, and it's less of a battle, but that's also like the crowd here is cheering for everyone, not only here but all mountain bike races. And in cyclocross in Belgium, it's clans against clans, and I think that's a big difference as well. It's just completely different.
Talking about the difference between mountain bike and cyclocross, and that extra 30 minutes, look at a race like last night's short track race. That seemed, especially watching you race that, you know, it didn't turn out the way you wanted, but that little short, shorter climb, punchier climb, that looked like a cyclocross race. Have you found the short track to be more to your liking for that?
Yeah, I think if you see the results this year, I went 1-2-1-2, so I think you can say it's something that suits me very well. It's similar to a cyclocross thing, and it's very intense, sometimes technical, not really, but speed is a little bit higher as well, and I think that's something that suits me really well. Yeah.
Here's just your thoughts on this about going into mountain biking, making picking up this discipline as well. It's an Olympic sport. That's, I'm assuming, is one of the reasons that you want to do it. Would that still be the case if cyclocross were an Olympic sport?
Oh, I think so, but it was definitely one of the things that made my decision more easy to go to mountain bike, because it's Olympic, and I don't know if cyclocross will ever be Olympic. It would be nice, of course, but I think that's the main reason I went to this sport, just because it's Olympic, and it's, I think, the biggest thing you can achieve.
Any thoughts now for the Olympics, doing the road race?
Oh, not really. I think the easiest is maybe the wrong word, but the best way to go for a medal, I think, is in this discipline. And I think it's cool as well to have that done in your life.
With cyclocross, you're coming off a season, you know, winning 30 plus races. you've won a world championship. You've won many national championships. What goals are left for you in cyclocross?
Well, becoming world champion again is still a goal, I think. But when I started cyclocross, the main goal was becoming world champion once. So I had the honor to be the youngest one. So that's something really nice, actually. And yeah, as you say, the goals are getting less and less in cyclocross, and I feel it's time to make new goals as well. Though that's also a reason I started mountain biking, and maybe going to the road a bit more. But The thing is about Sackcross, I love it so much, and yeah. I really enjoy doing it, that it's difficult to say goodbye to it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But it's that's nice to hear. I mean, you're still, you know, young, and yeah. it's kind of cool that you pick up something like mountain biking and keep yourself with new challenges for the sport.
Yeah, I think as a sporter, that's something you really have to have. Challenges, I think that's the thing that keeps you motivated and keeps you going. So for me, it's really important to have new goals.
Do you feel like at this point, it's like you almost don't have an off season? Mm-hmm. How are you able to sort of work that into training and basically race all year long?
Yeah, sometimes that's a bit difficult, not really the physical part, but it's mentally it's difficult to just keep going all the time. When it's going great, it's easier to do, but if you have some disappointments, then it's a bit harder. But I tend to keep a good combination between fun and training, but sometimes it's difficult because I'm going from one discipline into the other, and I didn't have a lot of rest. I rested 2 weeks after South Africa, after Stellenbosch. So that was the only rest I had this year. But it's for me, it's fine as it goes now. And like I said, if it's going good, like it's going now, then it's easy to keep up. So
we have these now, just talking about cyclocross and these World Cups in the U.S. And I know, you know, for some of the European riders, and you talked about this, how that trip maybe isn't ideal just from a cost standpoint and also just a travel and time. Is there something that would make it more worthwhile? More races in the U.S.? Would, you know, more like a Dave Ave race, something else? Would that be more ideal for you for traveling for those races?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe if you make it a month of racing there with maybe two World Cups and one Super Prestige and one DVV trophy, maybe that's already better, but I think the big difference is in the U.S. It's cyclocross is a sport that most people are doing there, and that's the difference. Like in our country, many people are supporting it, but not really doing it. And in the U.S., everyone is doing it, but like the races were not very crowded, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's right, and it's something that we struggle, and that's exactly how I look at it. In the U.S., we're a participatory sport. We can go out and race, and then we get to watch you all on the weekends, you know, and doing it at that the top level on those courses that we don't get to see in person. So it's truly almost two different sports.
Yeah, it's true, and I don't think it's going to be ever going to be as big as it is in Belgium, but that's not only the case for the U.S., it's also the case for like Italy, Czech Republic, all the countries. It's like a national sport, and I don't think it's going to be crowded and as popular as it is in Belgium.
Yeah. Spending time riding motocross. How has that helped you out here for mountain bike?
Yeah, I think it's a good training if you stay on the bike. It's a bit dangerous, of course, so you have to know your limits. But I think for technique and upper body strength, it's a really good training. And the speed is higher as well, so you have to have good reflexes. And for me, it's also something, if you're on the bike, you're just thinking about riding and nothing else. So for me, that's really a great way to keep the stress low and to make it fun as well. And it's been busy now a couple of months, so yeah. I didn't really have the time, but I'm looking forward to go riding again.
Yeah. When you look back on last cyclocross season, you know, is there, with all of those wins, any of them stand out? What's your kind of your best memory from the season?
Yeah, of course, the whole season was fantastic, I think. Only the World Championship was a bit of a disappointment, but I already said that I don't want to trade the victories for the World Champion jersey. So for me, winning all those races is also something I really, really like. And the best race, I think Diegem was a really good one, where I crashed in a start and came back and won the race. That's the days that you train for, I think. And that was a really nice race. And I also like the race in Diegem. I won there four times in a row now, so that's something that suits me well.
other than you know, somebody like Van Aert, is there anybody else that you see as kind of up and coming in cyclocross that you sort of have your eye on that may be a challenge? Or
if you look at the young guys, I would say, but not that I'm old or Van Aert is old, but the younger guys, yeah. I think we especially have to watch Pidcock and Iserbyt. That are the two guys that are, I think, if they come racing in pro elite category, they're going to be in the top 10 every race.
If there was anything about how cyclocross races are set up now, is there something on that you look at and you say, hey, if we did this, this would improve the sport or improve the racing?
Well, I don't really think so. Like I said, maybe it could get a little bit more technical now with the disc brakes. You can put in more steep descents or stuff like that. But I think the format is good as it is, yeah.
Yeah, that was, and I think you were the first rider that we really saw take such great advantage of the disc brake. I can't remember which race it was, but there was this, you were coming low on an off camber and then just kind of slotted in, being able just to sort of drift into the line right from it, and just this type of things that you look at races before that just unable to do, that you're able to take the skill that you already have and with the brakes being able to really take it to a new level.
Yeah, for me, like I said, that's the biggest advantage and innovation we had in cyclocross. From the first time I rode with it, I already was a big fan. It made racing more exciting, I think, faster as well, even more technical. You can brake later, you can go in higher speed in the corner. So for me, that's really a big advantage. And I think if you go back to V-brakes now, then you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Like, maybe the technique was even a bit more in, like, if you take a course like Namur, if you have V-brakes there, then you really have to be technical in the descents, but it's safer now and you have more control, and I wouldn't change anymore.
When you're not racing, what are you doing? What are you looking forward to doing just to sort of unwind, relax?
Yeah, for me, riding my motocross bike is relaxing, so stuff like that. it's still sporty. I'm not the guy who's just hanging around, I think, but sure. Just doing things with friends, what you normally can do in season, that's, for me, it's relaxing.
Awesome. Well, good luck in the race tomorrow. And,
thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, there it is. Matthew Vanderpoel. Love talking to that guy. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity to do so again, maybe once cyclocross season comes around. Along with Vanderpoel, we also got the opportunity to I got the opportunity to speak with Chris Blevins, also on the same Andorra trip. And let's get right into that. Here's Chris Blevins.
All right. We are actually recording now. I am going to start out by asking this. Christopher or Chris, either, both?
Oh, man. Either, honestly. You can go with Chris for
time's sake. Okay. So, road racing, mountain bike, cyclocross, sort of jack of all trades. So, let's start out. Music.
Well, honestly, that's probably, I'm as passionate about that as I am cycling, so... I always like it when people mention that in the cycling world. I started writing, I had a poetry unit when I was in ninth grade, and I kind of started with there, and I did the poetry slam that year, and then, started writing some raps from there, and, recorded at my friend's uncle's nice studio. And then, I've just progressed and kind of grown with it. And it's just my outlet. And, I made an album last year, and that was kind of the biggest project I've done. So it's a lot of fun and good balance to cycling. So
yeah, how was that? I mean, how was doing that? And how was from that? Are you performing any now? Are you doing anything from?
Yeah, I'm trying to write some more. I've been a bit busy, and now that I'm out of school this summer, I've had a bit more time. But I've never. I don't really think of myself as a rapper. I think I'm more like a spoken word poet, and I do a bunch of poetry slams when I'm at school. I also teach creative writing at the local juvenile hall, which has been pretty cool. And yeah, we've got like monthly poetry slams and there's some music groups on campus, but it's just kind of fun. And, you know, I just do it when I have some time.
Do you ever look at somebody like Gavin Haley and think, hey, maybe that's the path?
Yeah. I mean, not quite, honestly. It's more personal and introspective. I think, you know, if people listen to my music and that was like building momentum, I would obviously love to pursue it. But I definitely don't think of it as something that I'd like step away from cycling for instance. Yeah.
All right. So cycling. I think that, you know, at least from my coverage with cyclocross, knew you as road racer, mountain bike. Obviously, you got, you know, incredible technical skills, and we were doing all of our stuff last year running up to cyclocross nationals and doing all our predictions and everything. Did our U23 predictions. Didn't see you there. Didn't see you on the list. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, Chris Blevins is there. Like, oh, well, that might change things. How is, you know, what do you see yourself? What do you see as your primary discipline for cycling, or do you even know at this point?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get that question a lot. I think I look at myself as more of a bike racer rather than a certain kind of bike racer. Mountain biking is definitely, what I, you know, my heart wants the most, what my heart likes. Just growing up in Durango and, you know, following the footsteps of all those, legends and Durango Devo growing up. So, especially with Tokyo on the horizon, that's kind of what I want to try to pursue. But, you know, I had so much fun with cross this year, and, Hoggis Berman action has been phenomenal on the road. So, you know, right now I'm just trying to balance both, or all of them. But when the time comes, I know I'll need to focus a bit. So
you mentioned Durango. Just for folks who may not be familiar with your background, just tell me, you know, where'd you grow up? How did bike start? What age were you? When did you get into riding? When did you figure out, hey, this is something I'm good at?
Yeah. So, I mean, it started super early before I was in kindergarten really. And, there's a really good local BMX track in Durango and some of our friends are running it. And I went for the first time and, you know, a few weeks later I was like boarding a plane to Texas to go for a race. And then the next year I was flying all over to the nationals and I was six. So, from age 5 to really 16, but, my most focus from BMX was like 5 to 12. And then I kind of transitioned to the endurance side a bit, but, I was super serious with BMX and, my dad was taking me all over and, that really started it. And then it's so natural for anybody growing up in Durango to ride with Devo. It's kind of like the soccer, football of other towns. So, my first mountain bike national championships was 10 in Vermont. I did a lot of the local Colorado races and it's just always, I mean, it's just ingrained in the community of Durango and, it's really special to grow up there. So,
but it seems like it's something also from starting at that young of an age to continuing to do it now that it's got to be something that you continue to love. I mean, do you ever feel like you were in that time where we've seen so many people have gone into it, you know, sort of gotten national championships as kids and that kind of stuff and then burnt out from it? I mean, what's the secret to just continuing to have that passion for it?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely times where, you know, I've wanted to do other things in cycling and I've made a huge effort to try to do that. You know, I'm at Cal Poly, which doesn't have a cycling program. And a lot of my friends, you know, ask me if I wear the tight clothes and that's, or if I'm like a motocross racer. And I kind of love that, to be honest, because it's such a, I think it's so important to have real life things that, put cycling in perspective. I honestly don't think I would be still bike racing without Durango Devo and just kind of the mindset that kind of instilled in me. Just because it was so focused on fun and like exploration on the bike. And that was just so important when I was, you know, super serious at age 8.
Yeah, right.
So I think for longevity in the sport, for me, it's so important to think of others, you know, stuff in the world rather than cycling. And when I'm bike racing, I'm obviously focused on it. But when I'm, you know, done with my training ride, then I'm not thinking about it really. And that's kind of the way I've been able to balance it.
We're in Andorra now, getting ready for the next World Cup. You'll be racing on Sunday. Finding that balance between the road and mountain biking. I mean, I may be off in this analysis, but last week you kind of came into that race looking like a different athlete than the World Cup before that, mm-hmm. where it looked maybe like the road season and whatever training you were doing sort of burned you out. So how do you sort of balance those two goals?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. My coach, Jim Miller, has, you know, I trust him a lot, and he does a great job of building the schedule. But the first World Cup trip came on the heels of Gila and Redlands, and I think I wasn't able to do a lot of the high-intensity stuff that is needed for World Cups. So Alpstadt was just, you know, riddled with bad luck. I had a couple flats and crashes, but Nova Mesto was like the one race I've had, especially recently, where I just didn't feel like myself at all. And yep. I felt like I had nothing out there. And that was kind of, I was glad I had that, honestly, because it kind of, it definitely fueled the fire. And I went back and I've worked really hard the past month. And as soon as the gun went off in Val di Sole, I just felt like myself again. The start loop wasn't a nail in the leg. So I think I'm dialed in the training a bit in the past few weeks, but it's certainly difficult. You know, I keep the volume up for road racing, but it's important to kind of fine tune things when you go to World Cups.
For Val di Sole, I mean, you're starting what, like third, fourth row back, even farther than that?
I was actually second row.
You were? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think someone in the top 16 wasn't there, and okay. I was 17th call up.
Got it.
I've got some decent UCI points, so I snuck in the second row.
Based on, you know, you're racing with the same guys every week in these World Cups, so based on that, it really looked like you had a plan to be at the front. I mean, there was no holding back mm-hmm. in that race, and it was kind of go to the front and then, you know, battling it in those first three spots for pretty much the entire mm-hmm. race. Did you feel like you were losing some steam in there, or, you know, what, talking yeah. to me, just, I don't, it was an awesome race, mm-hmm. you know, you got fifth, it was a great result, but I was just thinking about that last lap, you had that chasing group in you, and what's sort of the strategy then?
Yeah.
Is it like trying to figure out what the front group's doing, looking behind you, mm-hmm. you know?
I mean, I think I'm confident that I can hang with the best in U23 field, and that's kind of been my strategy. That was my strategy in Alpstadt and Nova Mesto, you know, through the start loop, but I wanted to try to go with the top five and then see what I could do later. So I was in, you know, perfect position in third, and my lap times were fairly consistent, but the three chasers really put it on strong at the end, and we closed the gap on the winner. You know, I was only 38 seconds back, but they just stuck past me in the end, and I was like cramping super hard the last two laps trying not to stand up, or else, you know, I'd seize. So, you know, I got through it, but you know, it's nice to know that the podium and even the win is in reach. So
when you're looking at lap times, are you comparing them to what the elite field is doing, and where does that sort of put you in mm-hmm. if you were in that rate? Obviously, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's hard, it's apples and oranges, because it's different strategy, different, you know, different length and everything, but where did that put you as far as lap times go?
I didn't check it out too closely. I looked at like Howard's lap times and some of the other guys in the top 15, and I think I would have been right around there in the top mm-hmm. 15 if I kept that pace for one more lap, which is difficult,
right?
And definitely when with starting further back in the elite field, but you also may have a little bit more motivation. So I think I would have been somewhere in the top 15, you know, if I had a clean start and everything. So
and age wise where are you as far as U23 goes?
This is my second year, so okay, two more years after this.
Yeah, so you're still pretty young in mm-hmm. that field. Not like anybody who you're racing against is going to listen to this, so we can talk about Sunday, and it'll be long gone. But do you now look at that race, look at your success there, and sort of this build throughout the season, and change your strategy as how you approach this? You know, is there any do you feel like you're the kind of racer that can attack in these races?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't yet, you know, in the U23 field, but I think I can. a big focus going into Val d'Isole was just to like go off instinct, and I think that's when I raced the best, because I think I've had a lot of race experience in different disciplines, you know, and on the road, you know, you have to react to whatever's going up the road and everything. So it was easy for me to overthink after Novo Mesto, and I didn't want to get in my head too much, so I kind of just raced, and that worked out well for me. So it's difficult to have a plan in World Cup racing because one sure. section can yeah. change everything. So it's different at altitude this weekend also. It's difficult to attack and, you know, do that over and over again. But I think for now, my plan is to go with the top three, top five, and see what I have later in the race. So
what do you think about this track, especially compared to what we saw the last couple races, where it's a lot more, you know, rock gardens, but more man-made rock gardens mm-hmm. out here. Everything's pretty natural. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like it's a good mix of climbing versus flow versus, you know, rock features as well, technical ability.
Definitely. I was here 3 years ago for Worlds, and I like this course more. I've got a bone to pick with it because I broke my chain off the start line that year. so I like it a lot. The climbs are definitely big, but you can kind of get into a rhythm on them. And then I love the natural sections, especially the off camber. It felt like I was racing my cross bike a little bit yesterday. So it'll be interesting if it's wet, it'll change it a bit. But I think all World Cups, everyone I do, I kind of think this is a great one for me, just because I have so much fun on them. So I think, yeah, it's a good one for me.
When a lot of times, or one of the knocks that road racing gets is that the athletes are fit, strong, can put out a lot of watts, can climb, but maybe the handling isn't what it is in other disciplines. I'm not sure how true that is across the board, but you come into road racing with phenomenal bike handling skills, you know, so you're talking about basically working on those since birth. Mm-hmm. how much is that an advantage when racing your road bike?
Yeah, I mean, it's super important. I feel like any sprint I'm able to be in contention for, even if I don't quite have the legs, I'm comfortable getting in the right spot or putting a teammate in the right spot. I've done that quite a bit with Michael Rice on Action. And from the BMX days, it's almost more the pack skills and like that, and being able to be a couple inches from someone and going over a double and trying to manual. And that was, I think, something that I've pulled from BMX and applied to road racing. A lot of times you're not able to bust out any wheelies in the road racing or anything like that. So I think mountain biking, I'm able to deploy it a bit more, but the pack skills have been huge from BMX.
Yeah. I'm going to jump around here a bit, and I want to talk a little bit about Reno and Cyclocross Nationals. Going into that race, I know you had done a couple races before that, but not a ton of cyclocross racing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was your season leading up to Nationals?
Yeah, so I decided to give it a go because Reno's a few hours from San Luis Obispo where I was with school. My coach was down for it this year. So as far as training, I kind of dialed it a bit in during Christmas break and did some more high intensity stuff. But the focus was really building towards the mountain bike and road season.
You did LA, right?
Yeah. So I did Cross LA in November, a local race in SLO the weekend before. And I raced Lance Hyder at both of those. We're good buddies and ride together in San Luis Obispo. And then one local race at home during Christmas break. And that was kind of the extent of it. So I think where I lacked from the top cross guys was just the, you know, pure cross skills, just like cornering and stuff. And,
yeah, but still, you say that, yet, I mean, you had the power. You're coming in off of road season. You have this course set up that's especially, you know, let's just talk about the start. You have the start, and it's a long false flat mm-hmm. where you can pretty much go all out right into a staircase. When you saw that, because that was pretty much, you pretty much had your attack and your move. I mean, when did that sort of click that was something you could take advantage of?
Yeah. First time I pre-wrote it, I just disregarded it. I thought it was too high consequence and not worth it. I think I was talking to Cody Kaiser, and he was like, yeah, you should try it. And then I did it the day before.
Yeah, so basically what happened is there's how many steps? Was it like three or four?
It was three normal size concrete stairs. Right. And then kind of what made it difficult is into that corner.
Yeah, so then you have a 45 degree turn, mm-hmm. and then a little ramp down. And, you know, what we're talking about is not dismounting for that obstacle.
Yeah.
Just being able to take it mm-hmm. on the bike.
Yeah, and a feature like that wouldn't be at all, I can say, no one would look twice at it on the mountain bike. So obviously with cross tires and handlebars, it's much more difficult, but I think that was a big advantage. And you know, just saving energy mostly, like you didn't have to get off and run, and I don't like running as much as a lot of the cross guys. So
I don't think any of them
right.
they just accept that it's part of the sport.
And I knew I could do it at all speeds. I kind of tried it going slow, and I'd have to pick up quite a bit more, and I tried it going fast. But I definitely wanted to be first going into it. So a couple times, some of the guys sniped me a little bit, which is a great strategy. Get in front of me before I could hop them. But first lap, I think that might have been the fastest I did it. And from there, I just kept it going each lap.
What row did you start that race?
I think I was second.
Second row. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So it was basically attack from the gun, try to get that whole shot.
Yeah.
Get out,
It's like the last K of a crit at the start. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, obviously I'm sure it was a hard race for you, but you know, you had a pretty clear view for the rest of that championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric ran awesome race. I mean, he was pushing it the entire time, and I didn't really expect him to have that great of a ride going in. I knew he's super strong, but I was thinking more of Gage and Spencer. Obviously Gage had the flat, and it would have been a different race if he didn't, but it was the three of us and Grant Elwood for most of it. And it went by so quickly, honestly, just and you're just hurting the entire time. So I made a couple mistakes throughout it, but I was always just trying to move forward, and then we all stayed together until the last lap, and that's kind of when I had to throw it down.
That course, really, I think maybe like the back side before the barriers, and mm-hmm. maybe like the descent on the sort of mountain bikey off camber, really your only chances for recovery. It was pretty much full on that whole track.
Definitely.
You talked about, you know, a mountain bike and the Olympics, an opportunity for that. What any thoughts on cyclocross and being an Olympic sport?
Oh yeah, I mean, if it was, that'd be awesome. I haven't heard much talk about that. Would it be in the
that's winter? I think that's the big hang up that people have, is that the rules for winter sports has to be on ice or snow. Mm-hmm. So do you put it in the winter, or do you move it to the summer, and mm-hmm. where does it actually go? And that's I think one of the issues they're having. But yeah, my whole thought on that is, like, you know, they made the rules to start. It's not like they're laws.
Yeah, exactly.
they can modify it and let them. I just think it'd be interesting. I think it'd be something that would maybe keep some athletes that we seem to lose, especially in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it would give them another opportunity to make an Olympic team.
Definitely.
The interesting thing for me is doing this and covering mountain biking, which I love, and this is like my third year at the World Cups, is really getting a much better idea, since I was just so deep into cyclocross for the decade before that, mm-hmm. is how small, really relatively, cyclocross is compared to this scene here.
Yeah.
To come out. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, personally, I think that is the Olympics have a lot to do with that, because mm-hmm. it's a global sport versus a Belgian sport. You know,
very true. I think I look at the Olympics as the pinnacle of all sports. I think a lot of people do. So that's, I think, the motivation for a lot of people to be World Cup racers. And if cross had that, I have no doubt it would grow like crazy and take off. Yeah.
But that, so for you, is that sort of the ultimate goal, and you're looking at mountain biking as that path?
Yeah, it's not the only goal.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, And I think it's possible to, I mean, Vanderpool's doing it, be a cross racer and a mountain biker. But I think in the relatively short term, Tokyo is something I've had in my mind for a while. And especially trying to get two slots for it. You know, I've talked to Howie and Keegan a lot, and, you know, we've got to really chase points a bit next year, but we all push each other and we're all motivated. So I think that would help us a lot. And then this fall, you know, I'd like to see how cross fits in. Obviously with nationals earlier, it changes it a bit, mm-hmm. but I've definitely been thinking about it. Definitely looked at the calendar more than once. So I'd like to see, yeah, where it would fit in.
Yeah. The mountain biking is interesting because it really does work on that more than any sport I've seen. It works on that Olympic schedule where we're, you know, we had it, and then like these last couple of years, everything sort of calms down a little bit and people are more concerned about where they're going to end up in the World Cup and, mm-hmm. you know, just the UCI points, and then the Olympics kick in and it's all about places. It's all about points and trying to get on those teams. Mm-hmm. It's all about watching the, you know, 15 Swiss riders battle each other every race for two spots. But you mentioned Vanderpool, and I was just, you know, you're at a level where, you know, you can look at him differently than, say, I can, who's on the sidelines. And, you know, what is it about an athlete like that that you sort of look at, maybe impressed by, or also anything that you can take away from mm-hmm. what he's doing and how he's approaching cycling?
Yeah. I mean, he just seems like any race that he's in, you know, he wants to win and he's confident that he can win, whether it's a road race or world champs against Nino. So I think that's super special. And he's obviously got a hell of an engine and the bike handling skills. So he's definitely someone that, you know, I kind of want to model my career after as far as the things he can do. And I mean, I'm rooting for him every race. I'd like to see him take down the king. But yeah, it's really special with the things he can do.
And it seems like, yeah, it's all, you know, what you mentioned earlier, but especially after Nova Macedone, sort of being mad about that mm-hmm. and how that race went for you, talking with him, you know, he comes into mountain biking, never really done it before, getting on the podium, and he's not satisfied. He's like, mm-hmm. you know, I remember talking to him that I think it was Alpstadt. He was like third, and he was like, well, I could have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, you know, you see that, and you see somebody that can back it up, and I think that sort of mental side of it seems so important.
Yeah, he's definitely got a bit of killer instinct, you know, on the bike. My hero in all sports is Kobe Bryant. I'm like a huge Laker fan, so I'll watch like Mamba mentality videos and stuff, and you can apply that to bike racing, and I think Vanderpool does.
So what are your thoughts on LeBron?
Oh man. Yeah, so I was 3 out of 5 intervals in when I got that notification on my phone, and I was feeling like terrible. I wanted to go home. And then my last one was the best because I was just so hyped. So it's been a long time coming for the Lakers. It's been a rough few years. It's interesting. I mean, everything changes, but yeah.
Did you ever play basketball at all?
Yeah. I played in middle school a lot and then the first 2 years of high school. And I wanted to keep going, but I couldn't. So yeah, every off season, there's a lot of pickup games at school, so I'll go in there like almost every day.
Anything from that experience, from almost like a team sport experience, that you feel like, I feel like maybe on the road you mm-hmm. see that more than mountain biking, that sort of like that. I just a lot of the athletes that I talk to are basically cycling and that's it. You know, although it's, or they come from other endurance sports, like mm-hmm. running, skiing, something like that. So, I mean, coming from a team sport is always interesting, and then going into cycling.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely parts of basketball when you're in the locker room every day and you guys have the same objective and you have to work together to get there. That's kind of the same, and definitely in road and even in mountain biking when we're over here in Europe and it's just kind of us and we're our own squad and have to take care of each other, and then against a bunch of Europeans. So, I mean, it is a team sport because you're all rooting for each other. Obviously on the start line, everything's for yourself, in the mountain bike, but yeah. I'd say I learned a few things.
Well, I think, you know, and even just thinking about like road is where it is definitely, you were talking about, you know, setting up your teammates on sprints and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. That's like, you know, my basketball experience was like, I was going to be the guy that was like
setting picks, setting mm-hmm. up people for shots. That's basically it. And it's almost the same thing as, you know, being on a lead out for a road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Short track today. What do you think about short track? Is that it seems like it's almost goes back to not really BMX, but yeah. at least just that really fast race, and then it's done. It's a no. whole, almost a different discipline.
Yeah, every time I wish so badly I was out there. Because the U.S. short tracks are awesome, and I kind of like them more than the cross country a lot of times. So I think it's super exciting. I think it could definitely evolve into an Olympic sport itself and allow people to have two chances. So... I wish they had a U23 one, or I wish that they let us go against the top guys, but you know, hopefully it'll still be going on in 2 years and I'll definitely be excited for it. So I think it's great. I mean, for spectators, and I think a lot of people, don't like that it messes with their prep for the cross country, but, if everyone's doing it, then it's all the same. So
yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment that we've seen, especially covering it. 'Cause last year we'd have just, you know, day after day of getting up there, being able to shoot practice, being able to cover practice. And mm-hmm. now that's really truncated because, you know, people aren't going as hard on Thursday in preparation for Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday only doing a couple laps, and then they're kind of recovering on Saturday. So it's definitely changed that. But I think from a team standpoint, it's not like when they had Eliminator, that really didn't work as well.
Yeah.
Especially because just different kind of racing sort of screwed up the bikes more, so the mechanics weren't really yeah. happy about it. Where this, it doesn't seem like it has that that big of an impact. But mm-hmm. We are almost up on a half hour here, so anything else want to chat about, or
I don't think so. You know, I think U.S. mountain biking is on the rise. I just really want to thank USA Cycling for, you know, getting us all here. And the wave of U23s, obviously the women are killing it. They had four in the top 16 in Val d'Isol, and that's awesome. But, you know, I am just so appreciative of the support we get with USA Cycling. And I, you know, I think a lot about the bridge that could be built between like NYCA and World Cup racing. And I'd like to kind of work in that area in the future. But I'm just excited about what lies ahead with U.S. mountain biking. And
yeah, that's a great point, and I think that NYCA is an important piece of that. You know, we saw mountain biking, cyclocross,
mm-hmm.
super popular. Probably, I think right now, plateauing. Mm-hmm. Personally, I see that going, but there are people out there who think it's just going to keep growing and growing and last forever in the U.S. And every one of those people I talk to, I always say, go find somebody who raced mountain bikes in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was huge, and it was the biggest thing, and it was going to take over cycling, and then it just, you know, bottomed out.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that you believe that it's growing again. And I think it is. And I also thanks for bringing up USA Cycling, because I think that is important to give them credit for having a World Cup squad. And you know, we always want to give them a hard time about allocating funds and mm-hmm. not having enough money, that they are bringing people over mm-hmm. and doing that, I think is really good.
Yeah, it's always a balance, and the way USA mountain biking is going is more in the epic ride stuff, and that's great. Like I'd love to do all the epic ride races in the future, but we've also got potential in the World Cups, and it's great to see us kind of working to fulfill that. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, I will let you get out there to get your training in today, and good luck on Sunday, and thanks for coming by and chatting.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
All right. There it is. Episode 116 of Crosshairs Radio is in the books. Hey, if you want to get in touch with me, go over to Instagram and just leave me a message at CXHairs. That's probably the easiest way. You could also call the hotline, 405-CXHairs. I had this horrible experience with my website, and it just got all screwed up, and part of that was like losing my email addresses for that site, so I'm still working on getting those back. Once I have those back, then we can go back to the email addresses, but for now, let's just shoot me a DM. I mean, you can do it over on Twitter also. I might see it, but man, that's an ugly place these days, Twitter. You know it's not ugly. Crimpier Brothers Coffee, the Fool Schleck, Wide Angle Podium partnered coffee. Go to wideanglepodium.com. Go pick yourself up some. And then go check out all the shows on the network. We'd love to have you a member. I'm not hard selling you on the network because I'm saving it for the next couple weeks when the donor drive starts, because that's going to be off the charts. And that's when you're all going to sign up. So, you know, just go check it out. Go peruse. Go browse around. See what you want to do. What level you want to donate at. And then once that drive starts, just pull the trigger then. There's my inside pro tip. You get better swag that way. All right. DC Women's Cyclocross Camp. Please tell all your friends, family, relatives, strangers on the street who may be riding a bike. See somebody on like a bike share and go, hey, I saw you get off that bike. It looked pretty good, but I think we could help your technique. They're having a DC Women's Cyclocross Clinic. You may not want to do all this. It seems a little creepy. But yeah, just kind of think through that in your head, that loose kind of opportunities. Yeah, and send them over to bikeredge.com, and then search for the DC Cyclocross Women's Clinic, and it should come up. As I said before, I'll note in the links in the show notes. All right. It's good to be back. I know I'm rambling. I just don't want to go. I want to keep talking to you guys. Send me some questions so I can get Diedenbach and some other folks on here. We can answer them. Oh, also, cxhairs.com. I'm working on some stuff. I say this every year, and every year, you know, incrementally, we try to get a little better. This year, Cyclocross Clinic. My mind is everywhere. Cyclocross season. I am not going to go back. I am not going to edit this. I am not going to re-record it. You're getting the first time. You're getting all my inability to say words. And we're keeping it all in there. CXHairs.com. It's going to be good. We're going to get videos in there, Crosshairs Television. We're going to have possibly some tech in there that you guys seem to want. So we're going to do that as well. Lots of race reports. It's coming back to life. All right. We'll see you on the next one.